Well, good morning again. I thought of you when I saw this cartoon recently. It says, Mrs. Jones got a little too used to watching online worship from home. I appreciate you being here today. I know it was difficult getting up, getting out of your pajamas and slippers to come to church. But it's good to be together, your sight for sore eyes. We haven't assembled together in person for over 10 weeks, and yet in many ways it feels like 10 months. It's been an extraordinary time, hasn't it? We've gone through a history-defining moment together. We've persevered through a global pandemic. And if we're young enough, someday we'll tell our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren about it. We've gone through other national crisis situations. We think of maybe wars, or I remember talking to Eva Nabel of our church, talking about getting through the Depression. We would also maybe think of 9/11. But in those difficult settings, we could draw strength and comfort from being in one another's presence and gathering together as a corporate body to worship and pray. But an extremely contagious virus has kept us at home, isolated and distanced from one another. And this separation has been very trying for us as a church family. But we've made the best of it. Been so just proud of people, their creativity. We've been creative in how we've ministered to one another. We've made calls and we've sent cards and dropped off care packages and buddy bags. And we've done different kinds of service projects like making homemade masks. We've had Zoom gatherings. There's even been flat Jesus sightings. This ministry expressions, these expressions have been a blessing, but they can't take the place of real in-person church care fellowship. And we made the best of the situation by innovating as a church. After making the decision to cancel in-person church for a couple of months, we were tasked with becoming an online congregation in about a week's time. But we managed to stream an online service for the first time because of the tireless efforts and skill of a great team, along with much prayer and a little bit of duct tape, to be honest. Just hours after our first online service, we had over 3,000 views. And we joked that we had become a megachurch overnight. And Kevin and Jordan and I were now tele-evangelists, which was never a role that I wanted. But Rhonda already alluded to it. I want to say it again. I want to say thank you to the team of people that kind of pulled online church together, Rhonda and Larry, Jordan, who provided a lot of technical expertise, Kevin, who wore a lot of different hats, Rachel Porter at home, keeping Facebook live, engaging it, Donna doing the slides, Jason's beautiful music, which just kind of inspired all of us. So many praise teams that came in, just many other people as well. They deserve encouragement, and thank you. Since that time, most of our online services have attracted close to or over 1,000 views. And so there's a sense in which over the past couple of months, we've grown as a church, which has been a blessing. But that growth has been virtual, which I think raises really interesting questions about what the church is, the nature of the church. Brad, counting attendance has just gotten very complicated moving forward. And so next Sunday, I'd like to just kind of explore that question of what is a church in the post-quarantine world. And we'll explore that, and then I hope to kind of get back to some normal preaching themes. Over the past month, this worship area, past couple of months, has felt more like a TV studio. And there's been no one here to laugh at or groan over my jokes, which has been very disorienting. A couple weeks back, somebody joked that we should get a laugh track for me, which I didn't think was funny, and we needed a laugh track for that. So I'm happy to see you and hear you groaning today. So this morning, we're reopening RCC. And we've prepared and we've planned and we've prayed. We've marked off seating and we've simplified the building. We've established safe guidelines for the things that we can control. We've invited and we've advertised. We've planned service theme and the details. We're almost ready for church to begin. And yet, something is missing. The plans are incomplete. And so here's the issue. The church belongs to God. It's God's church. It is God and God alone who restores and renews a people, a church, a worshiping community. This morning, we're going to conclude our series, Standing on the Promises. Over the past 6 weeks, we focused on the promises of God in the Bible that really can provide a firm foundation for us to stand upon during what's been a confusing and uncertain time. We're going to wrap up the study today by focusing on the promise of God's power to revitalize his people. And I must admit, in my lowest moments, I've questioned, will the church ever be the same again? Will we be able to kind of work through our fears and our worries and be able to gather and worship? And I know that's going to take, it's going to take time. Or have we lost confidence and hope? Is the spiritual and emotional damage just too great? Have we lost faith in God while socially exiled from one another as a church family? And the people of Israel were asking the same kind of questions at the beginning of the 6th century B.C. At the beginning of the 6th century, the nation of Judah was conquered and taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. And the Old Testament prophets interpreted Israel's exile in Babylon as God's judgment upon a rebellious people, a people who had been disobedient to their covenant with God. The people of Israel were in exile in Babylon for over 50 years. And this was a sad, difficult time for God's people. They missed their homeland. They missed their familiar life and routines. They missed seeing friends. And most importantly, they missed assembling as a worshiping community at the temple of the Lord, gathering as a family to worship. Psalm 137 captures the mood of Israel during exile. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept while we remembered Zion, Jerusalem. There on the poplars we hung our harps. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?" While in exile, worship was not the same for Israel. Many of the people even hung up their harps, possibly for good. Like us today, they were wondering, will church ever be the same again? Is there any hope for a people in exile? Is there a power that can heal and reestablish and revive a scattered people? God called the prophet Ezekiel to provide God's exiled church, past and present, with a vision of hope and a promise of power. If you want to open your Bibles this morning to Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14, or pull this up on your device. And Ezekiel's found in the last third of the Old Testament. If you can find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, you'll find Ezekiel. It's part of the Bible. Probably don't know as well. And through this strange vision of the valley of dry bones, God promises to restore and bring his people to life, to bring to life his exiled church. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesy as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Now clearly, this is an odd passage. I want to invite you this morning to use your biblical imagination. And think of this apocalyptic vision as a parable teaching us about the revival of God's people. In a dreamlike vision, Ezekiel is transported to a vast plain. The ground is hard and cracked. The sky is gloomy. And scattered for miles on the ground are human bones. They're dry, very dry. They've been dead for a long time. And these bones represent the people of Israel in exile. They are spiritually dead. And God asks Ezekiel in verse 3, can these bones live? Can God's people be restored? And we've been asking a similar question. Can these bones live? Will the church ever be the same again? Will these walls sing? Will there be a buzz of laughter and joy in the foyer? Will the building smell like coffee? Will there be noise of little feet in the nursery? Will there be ruffling of pages of the Bible heard in classes? Will the waters of the baptistry be stirred? Can these bones live? God tells the prophet how it will happen in verse 5. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. God is the one who will resurrect and restore the people of Israel to the promised land. And God is the one who enables his church to come to life again. The church belongs to God. The church is a supernatural entity. We can make plans. We can define guidelines. We can master technology. We can prepare a service and a study. But all of these good things are not what make us a church. They are not what breathes life into us as a worshiping community. Without the presence of God, songs and sermons and seekers online and special music numbers are only dry bones. The restoration and revival of a church is the work of God. In Ezekiel's vision, the bones begin to come together. Tendons and muscle and flesh are added. Soon they are the army of God, the scattered faithful of Judah, and they're ripped out of their spiritual graves. Now, after their resurrection and their reanimation, they are prepared for their journey home to once again become a holy nation, a worshiping community. Through this parable, God promises Israel that he will deliver from spiritual isolation, from social distance, and he will restore them to the land of promise. And here at RCC, we're beginning to hear the rattling of bones and muscle and flesh coming together. People walk through the door today. We were beginning to wonder about 8:30, but they came. Instruments have been played. Prayers and songs of praise have risen up to the heavens. We've got things on the church calendar again. RCC is starting to look like a church again. And yet, something is missing. Something is unfinished. This was true in Ezekiel's dream as well. Verse 8. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Without the breath of God, the people of God are nothing more than lifeless bodies, corpses, zombies, if you will. The power that will restore Israel as God's people will be the Spirit of God. Listen to God's promise in verse 14. I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. Just as God breathed life into the newly formed lungs of our ancient ancestor Adam, so God breathes the Holy Spirit into his people and they come to life. The church belongs to God, and only God can restore and renew his people. And what is the power that God will use to revive his church family? It's the Holy Spirit of God. We are not a church until the Spirit arrives. Our plans for reopening our congregation are incomplete until God breathes on us. Did you know that today is Pentecost Sunday? Today, Christians all over the world are celebrating and remembering the beginning of the church, the arrival of the Spirit, recorded in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, 1 through 3 describes the supernatural event this way. When the day of Pentecost came, they, the disciples of Jesus, were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Acts 2, in fact, the entire book of Acts, goes on to describe the beginning of the church, the Christian church, and mission. However, the church didn't officially begin until the promised Spirit of God arrived on the scene. And from a larger biblical perspective, the exile of God's people wasn't over until the promise of God to dwell with his people in power was fulfilled. And it was fulfilled on Pentecost. The power of God's Spirit continues to be available to us today as a church. And to complete the reopening of RCC, we need a fresh pouring out of God's Spirit, God's breath. It is the Holy Spirit that makes an assembly of people, both in person and online. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a gathering, a church. It's the Holy Spirit that can end our exile and revive our congregation. We can't force the Spirit to come, but we can receive and welcome it when it arrives. We can't force the Spirit to display its power, but we can pray and wait in faith for the wind of God to come from heaven and to fill this building and our homes and our hearts. The people of Israel in exile are sadly described this way in Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And many of us probably feel that way this morning. Past months have just been exhausting, worrisome. We're worn out. Our spiritual bones are aching and we're wondering, can the church be revived? Will the church ever be the same again? Can these bones live? And with one final promise, God answers us today and says, yes, the church belongs to God. God promises never to forsake his people. God will restore and renew his people in his time. God is in the business of resurrecting the dead and welcoming exiles home. And how will the exile end? How will we return from exile today? The prophet Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, answers that question for us. It says, not by human might, nor by earthly power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we praise you today, and it's just so good to be together as a church family again. And yet we're reminded that we haven't fully come home until you arrive in your power. We pray for that today, Father. We pray for the power of your Spirit, the passion, the excitement, your breath to come. Revive us, rejuvenate us. It's been a hard time. It's been a strange time. There's been a lot of things to grieve. And Father, we're ready to move forward, but we can't do that without you. So Father, we pray for just a fresh outpouring of your power and your presence. And we ask, Father, that you would complete the reopening and revive us again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.